Okay, Brachas Daf Lamed Hei Amad Aleph. Let's just briefly recap the story thus far. We'll try and get towards the bottom of the Amud, and then we're going to see some Tosfos in Yetzer Hashem. The Mishnah told us that there is a notion of making brachas. Vorchen al Aperis, the subject of the Mishnah is really the bracha lifnehem, the brachas that you make prior to eating. The Gemara says, how do you know you make brachas? We brought a pasuk, Kodesh, Hilulim Lashem. Hilulim is plural, and it tells you that you have to say Halal, which means a bracha, twice. How do I know twice? Because the word Hilulim is indicative of two. Hilulim is Loshen Rabim. The Gemara's whole discussion that we saw after that was, one second, that's only a fair drosha if the word Hilulim is really spare, freed up. There are two droshas that you can make from Hilulim because it's Loshen Rabim. The Gemara suggests that actually both droshas are booked up. Why? I need one of the droshas to teach me that achalei v'hodar ochle, that you first have to be mechalel the revai before you eat it, and that's from the word hilulim, because remember we said the hay and the ches are interchangeable. So it teaches me that even though it's kadosh, you can eat it, but you've got to be mechalel, you've got to redeem it. And the second halacha was from the word halel, hilul, which means shira, which is teaching you that the whole halacha of revai only applies to that type of food which warrants a shira. Which type of food warrants a shira? Yayin. As we saw, because in the Mizbeach, even though there are plenty of different types of karbonos, but it's only yayin that warrants a shira. So here we have two droshes, one halel and one halel, both learned from the Kodesh Hilulim word, in which case you haven't got any spare drosha. How can you tell me that Hilulim teaches you a bracha lefoneho and a bracha leachareho because there's a double drosha? The double drosha is used for two other halachas. That was basically the Gemara's general shaila. So let's briefly recap the various stages. The Gemara says, one second, with regard to drosha number two, that revai only applies to yayin, that really depends on the old machloikas, whether kerem revai or neta revai. If you hold kerem revai, then indeed it's true. Kerem means
vineyard,
wine, so then you're right. So the second halacha is derived from this posuk as well. But if you hold neta revai, then this halacha is not true. So therefore, when you're telling me that the double drosha is doubly booked, that actually depends on this machloikas. So the Gemara says, it's all fine and well according to the man to Omar, neta revai, but kerem revai we're going to be stuck. Then the Gemara says, one moment, even if you hold kerem revai, that revai applies to yayin, where's that learned from? It might not necessarily be learned from this pasuk, it could be from a gzeira shava, we had tavua tavua, in which case I still have a drosha freed up over here. Says the Gemara, but one moment, what's that going to help you? I've freed up one drosha, but I haven't freed up two. So I can only learn one brocha, which will be the brocha afterwards. How do I know the brocha before? So the Gemara says, that's not a problem, because I can learn it from a kal v'chomer. If you make a brocha afterwards, kal v'chomer prior to the eating. So at this stage of the game, we're good. I will learn at least one of the two droshas is freed up. It's true, it's no longer a double drosha like we thought in the beginning, but it turns out I don't need a double drosha. I need a single drosha, the brocha la'achareho, from which I will learn on base of logic that so too, or kol v'chomer kal shekein, you'll make a brocha lefoneho. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, so you've managed to prove that kerem, which is the subject of this pasuk, you make a brocha la'achareho, and by virtue of the kal v'chomer, so too lefoneho. How do I know other minim? So the Gemara says, binyanav, that's always my first attempt. Just like kerem, so too other minim. What is kerem? Kerem is food that you have benefit from. So why can't I assume, make a binyanav? What does a binyanav mean? Remember we said last time, an av is a father. Binyan is a building. So I build from the father. The father teaches me the headline is, any food that you benefit from, you make a bracha. So therefore we can say, so too, any other food that the same is true. Says the Gemara, not so pashut. Kerem is very unique. which halacha is unique to kerem? Oilelois. Remember the halacha of the unripe grapes that need to be given to an oni. So you see that the Torah is specifically machmir with kerem. So maybe you have to make brachas as well, because you see it's a very, very stringent parsha in the Torah. So at this point in the game, we finally introduced koma. What's koma? Grain, from which you make bread, and you also have to make a bracha there, and there's no oil alois there. So don't tell me that oil alois is a significant factor in the whole parsha of brachas. It has nothing to do with it, as proved to me by koma. Says the Gemara, yeah, but koma has a different chumra, which is chala. Fine, but if you come back to Kerem does not have challah, so clearly challah has nothing to do with it, and oilelois has nothing to do with it. So we say the famous line, loy re'izeh k're'izeh, v'loy re'izeh k're'izeh. This one's factor A is not like B, and B is not like A, so therefore let's look at what they are like each other. What is the common denominator? A koma is a food, kerem is a food. You benefit from them both, and you make a bracha that will come. Therefore, my general principle, as long as I cannot find a unique feature which is common to both, then you'd say, well, that stands them apart. So the Gemara says, I do have something that stands them apart. What is that? They have a tzad mizbeach. I think this is where we left off. What's a tzad mizbeach mean? Let's have a look in the Gemara. On the fifth, last, narrow line. Each one, both kerem and koma, have a tzad mizbeach. What does it mean, a tzad mizbeach? They have some sort of shaychus to the mizbeach. They're not karbonis as such. A kerem, obviously, has attachments to the mizbeach, the nesachim, and the koma, from which you make grain and flour, goes to the menachis. As opposed to your cucumber and your orange, has nothing to do with the mizbeach. So it's true. Challah is irrelevant. Oil alois is irrelevant. But maybe the tzad mizbeach, that's what stands them apart. And maybe the Torah only obligates to make a bracha if we're dealing with food that has some sort of shaychus to the mizbeach. But if you're dealing with your cucumber and with your orange and your apple, which has no tzad mizbeach whatsoever, who's to say that there's a chiyuv to make a bracha? Now, says the Gemara, at this stage of the game, even if you want to say that tzad mizbeach is indeed significant, says the Gemara, va'osi nami, you would be able to bring as well into the equation a zayis, an olive, which also is beit sad mizbeach. In other words, we're in the world of the question over here. We're not answering the question. We're still in the world of the question. What was the question? How can you prove to me that there is a general principle that you've always got to make brachas on every item you benefit from? Where's your source? From kerem and koma. Those both have sad mizbeach. So therefore, I understand and I agree and I appreciate you've got to make a brach on a kerem and also on a koma, but who says on your cucumber? Now, at this stage of the game, the Gemara says, I'm still willing to bring into the equation zayis. Why is zayis significant? Because zayis has a tzad mizbeach. Where does zayis have a tzad mizbeach? Because from the zayis you make shemen, and shemen also goes on the mizbeach. So therefore, even in the world of the question, where we're suggesting maybe only those items that have a tzad mizbeach you make brachas on, we must admit that that wouldn't be limited absolutely only to kerem and koma. You could also bring into the equation zayis. But that doesn't answer our question. Why does it not answer a question? Because even though we've expanded it slightly,
still a tzad mizbeach.
But it's a tzad mizbeach. I still have no source that you've got to make a bracha on those foods that do not have a tzad mizbeach. So it's true. Tzad mizbeach doesn't rule everything out because it would incorporate also the zayis. But I'm still stuck on my cucumber. So for the maximum I can give you is the Zayis, that also has a Tzad Mizbeach, therefore you can bring that into the equation as well. Now, says the Gemara, one moment. V'zayis mitzad mizbeach osi, question mark. Is that how you would incorporate zayis because it happens to have a tzad mizbeach? V'ho behedya ksiv be kerem. Zayis, what does behedya mean? Clearly. Zayis is clearly referred to in the Torah as kerem. Why the ksiv? It says in Sefer Shoftim, Vayivar Migodish Vaad Komo Vaad Kerem Zayis. So therefore, why would you need to say that the reason why I make brachas on Zayis is because it has a tzad mizbeach? There's a far simpler way of deriving it. What is that?
It states it explicitly.
It's incorporated in kerem. We've already said that a kerem and also the komo are both Machayev brachas. Well, obviously, kerem includes a Zayis because the Torah clearly calls a kerem a Zayis by the word kerem. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Omar of Papa. Kerem Zayis, Ikri kerem. But Stoma lo Ikri. A Zayis generally is not called a kerem. If the Torah specifically refers to it as the kerem Zayis, fine, so then the word kerem can be attached to Zayis. But Stoma, the general Zayis, is not referred to as kerem. If the only way I could incorporate it is not to say that it's automatically subsumed by the word kerem, but rather by virtue of the tzad hashava that tells me tzad mizbeach, so I would say, fine, great. In which case, we can incorporate the Zayis because the Zayis also has a tzad mizbeach. But remember, this is, as it were, small play. This doesn't really answer our question. What is our general question? At the moment, what have we got on the table? Kerem, Koma, and Zayis. So we can debate whether Zayis is included in Kerem or it's derived from Kerem because it's Tzad Mizbeach. But at the end of the day, I'm still stuck with 99% of other foods. Anything which is not a kerem or koma, I still do not have a source of Yafrika Bracha. And that's what the Gemara says. Mikol mokoim kasha. Nonetheless, however you want to treat the Zayis, it's not really relevant to the overall story. Whether the Zayis is part of kerem or whether it's a derivative of kerem, it doesn't make a difference. I'll give you Zayis. Fine, I'll give you Zayis. So you've got kerem, you've got koma, I'll give you Zayis. But you have not yet found a source to make a general principle. What was a general principle?
All foods need a bracha.
We have no source for that. We have no source for that general principle. Mikol.
Zayis argument. It really adds
right,
nothing.
Right, doesn't add to anything. The Gemara is just, as it were, saying, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Even in the world of the question, let's be honest, I'll have to give you Zayis. But say that, but like I said, it's small stuff because the overall issue is how do I know that it's a general principle and that I haven't solved anything. So you're quite right. Zayis, the Gemara is just saying, listen, let's be technical about this, that if I'm concentrating on Tzad Mizbeach, then Zayis will also be included. Fine, but it doesn't solve our overall problem. Why not? Says the Gemara. Mikol mokem kasha. We're still in difficulty. What is the common denominator between these two or three items? Shekein, Yesh, Bohen, Tzad Mizbeach. So therefore, we're going to have to look further afield. Are there any other items in the Torah where we're told you make a brach? Says the Gemara. Hello. Yeah, let's backtrack. Let's bring up something else onto the table.
The Yalif law, Mishiva Saminim.
We can learn from the Shiva Saminim.
Says Rashi, Zayin Minim,
Ho Amurim Ba'oretz Chito Usa'oiro. We have the seven Minim. What are the seven Minim? Wheat and barley,
Rimoin,
olives, Sorry, olive, dates, grapes, pomegranates, and figs. Plus wheat and barley. That's seven altogether. Now, says Rashi, those Shiva Saminim Ubasraihu, immediately after that, what does it say in the Torah? Says Rashi, Ksiv, Vachalta Vasavoto Uveirachto. So now all of a sudden we can bring a source that the notion of making a bracha Vachalta Vasavoto Uveirachto, what's that referring to? The pasuk which is written immediately prior to it, i.e., Shiva Saminim. Now, Shiva Saminim doesn't necessarily have a tzad mizbeach. Maybe some do, but pomegranates don't, and figs don't. So therefore, the tzad mizbeach argument has finally been put to rest. We can expand our tzad hashava. As long as kerem and koma were the only two on the table, or maybe zayas as well, I'm going to continuously argue that maybe only those foods have a tzad mizbeach warrant a bracha. But once you bring Shiva Saminim onto the table, some of them do not have a tzad mizbeach, and you still make a bracha. So that proves to me that what? The tzad mizbeach is not an argument at all. So let's now try and build a tzad hashaveh. Says the Gemara, Elo diyaliflom, the second wide line, Elo diyaliflom is Shiva Saminim. Ma Shiva Saminim. Just like Shiva Saminim, what is the common denominator between them all? It's a dovo shenehene. It's something which you benefit from, v'to'un brocha, and requires a brocha. Af kol dovo shenehene to'un brocha. So let's make that our general principle. That so to everything else you benefit from, whether it has a tzad mizbeach or not, is totally irrelevant. The general principle will be that you've got to make a bracha afterwards. Just like over here, it also says, v'chalta v'savata uveirachta. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'ale shiva saminim, shekein chayovim, bebikurim. Shiva saminim have something unique to them. And what is that? Chayav bebikurim. So therefore, I would say to you, you have no right to base on Shiva Saminim that you make a bracha, because that just like before, we brought in Oilalois, we brought in Chala. Shiva Saminim is also outstanding, has a unique feature, i.e. that it's Chayav B'Bikurim. Says Rashi, Shekein Tu'unin Bikurim Dahochi Omrinon B'Menachis. Because it says in Menachis, Nemakan Kibosi El Ha'oretz. Where does it say Kibosi El Ha'oretz? In Parshas Kisavi with regard to Bikurim, it says the word Oretz. V'nem Alahalon, and it is written elsewhere with regard to the Shivas Aminim, Eretz, Chito Soira, etc., etc. Malahalon Shvach Ha'oretz, Afkan Shvach Ha'oretz. Just like there, we're praising the land. Here too, they were praising the land. Therefore, Oretz teaches me that when does the Parsha of Shivas Aminim apply? It applies in Shiva Saminim. Fine. So if that's the case, you cannot once again base your general notion of making brachas on Shiva Saminim. Why not? Because they're Chayav B'Bikurim. Furthermore, Va'oid, even if you would learn from Bikurim, Ha'tinach, that will all be fine and well, Acharov. You've only got a source for making a bracha afterwards, like it says, v'chalta v'savata, and only then uveirachta. But lafon of minayin, how do I make a bracha before? So the truth is, we've already asked this type of question before, and the Gemara says once again, holo kasha. Da'osi b'kal v'chayma. Keshehu soveya, when he's satisfied, mevarech. Keshehu ro'ev, likol shekein. But that second issue is not such a problem, because I only actually need one source. As long as I can find a source for making a bracha afterwards, apparently we would learn on Svara that you'd make a bracha prior to eating as well. But the main issue, therefore, is the Bikurim. So therefore, at this stage of the game, we are in trouble. Again, until this point, we're following the route of Kerem Ravai. If you go with Netar Ravai, then you're good. Because Netar Ravai is not unique to a Kerem, it's any Netiya. But Kerem Ravai, you're stuck. We wanted to bring in Koma, we got stuck. We want to bring in Shiva Saminim, we're still stuck. Says the Gemara, to be perfectly honest, Ulaman Datoni Netar Ravai. Now let's come back to our other argument. That if you hold Netar Ravai, we said everything is great. Says the Gemara, it's not that great. He's not that much better off. He's slightly better off. Why? Hotinach, that's all fine and well. Kol davar natiya, anything that's planted. But to lav bar natiya. But if it's not planted, could go in bosa or beitz in v'dogim, meat, eggs, and fish, which are not planted, minole. So until this point, we always thought, turns out to be mistakenly, we always thought that the difficulties only arise if you hold Kerem Ravai. But if you hold Netar Ravai, then everything is fine and dandy. Now the Gemara has just said, I must be perfectly honest, that even if you hold Netar Ravai, you're not much better off. Because Netar Ravai, you're right, is certainly more expansive than Kerem Ravai. But it's not all expansive. I got no right to include eggs and meat and fish. How do I know? You make a bracha on those. Those are not plantations, and they're certainly not a kerem. But neither are they a natiya. So therefore, it turns out we do not yet have a source for making brachas. Or, to put it more accurately, I don't have a source to make a general principle out of making brachas. I certainly have one or two examples. Kerem, Koma, Shiva Saminim, Netiyos maybe. But to make it a general principle, how do I know that's true? Says the Gemara, Elo Svara Hu. It's a Svara. After a whole week of learning droshas this way, that way, backwards, forward, says the Gemara, you know what? It's based on pure logic. Why is it a logic? Svara Hu. Osur Loi Laodom. It is also for a person, She Yehene Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'loi Brach. It is absolutely osa to benefit from this world in any way whatsoever without making a bracha. Says Rashi, Elosvarahu. Dila Taravaihu, what does Taravaihu mean? According to both Kerem Ravai and Netar Ravai, I'll be honest and I'll tell you that Islahu Pircha. They both have a Pircha, which means their limud is broken. Why? Rashi says, I'll take your hand slowly, stage by stage. Leman Datoni Kerem. If you go with the opinion of Kerem Ravai, so we had to drag all the way to Shiva Saminim, V'yalif Bracha Mizayim Aminim, then Ika Pircha, what was the Pircha? Shekein Tu'unin Bikurim. That they all require Bikurim, and therefore that turns out not to be a general limud. Ulaman Datoni Netar Ravai. And even if you hold Netar Ravai, also Ikala Mifrach, you can still ask a Pircha. Hotinach Midi Dvar Natiya. That's only if it's good, if you're talking about a Bar Natiya, something which is planted. But Lav Bar Natiya. But if it's something which is not planted, like fish, egg, and meat, Minolon. So Rashi, in three lines, has basically summarized an entire Amud of Gemara. If you learn Kerem Ravai, then we had to go to Shiva Saminim. Well, that turned out to be unacceptable because you've got the Bikurim Pircha. And if you're old Netar Ravai, you're not that much better off because, again, you're very limited only to those things that are in a tier that are planted, but fish, meat, and eggs which are not planted, you're stuck. Elosvarahu to kibben de nehene. Seeing as you benefit, tzarech lahoidos, you need to thank lemi shebaram, the one who created them. Now this is a very, very, very significant Rashi. And we have to remember this Rashi, amidst Hashem for the entire perek. Which yisoid did I just learn in Rashi? Why am I saying that this Rashi is a very significant Rashi?
As we're learning, it's a Sfora.
That the Gemara says. What does Rashi add to the Gemara? The Gemara says it's a Svara.
You have to think, give thanks to the
Rashi really? Has taught us what a Brocha is. Brocha is an expression of thanks. The Gemara says that logic dictates that if you have benefit from the world, you've got to make a Brocha. What am I doing when I'm making a Brocha? This is an absolutely fundamental principle in this entire perek. Ketzad Mavarchim, how do you make a Brocha? What does that mean, a Brocha? I bless. What does bless mean? It's a meaningless word. What does that mean? So Rashi throws in the word lahoidos, to thank. So apparently, logic dictates that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you benefit from anything that he's created. Now, by the way, very, very important to point out, if we take this argument or this svara to its logical conclusion, then we would have to ask the question, why or is brochas limited to eating? The Lashon of the Gemara, again, what was the svara? The Gemara doesn't say it's osa to eat without making a bracha. It says it's osa to benefit. So l'choyer, that shouldn't necessarily be limited to food. And I'll give you a classic example. When else do we make a bracha not on eating as such, but from a different type of benefit? Can you think of an example? Remember, we said the first time there's different types of brachas. Birkas ha-mitzvahs and birkas ha-shvach. That's not what we're dealing with. When you make a bracha on the sea, or if you said Kiddush Lavona last night, that's a Birkas HaShvach. You're praising. That's not because of your benefiting. But even Birkas HaNehenin, we're learning the sugya of Birkas HaNehenin. Can anybody think of another example of a bracha you have to make on benefit, which is not eating? I'll give you a clue. It's a bracha that we all made within the last 24 hours. At least we should have. Besides for eating.
Birkas HaTorah.
Birkas HaTorah is a Birkas HaMitzvahs. It's a mitzvah of Limud Torah. But a bracha on benefiting it, nothing to do with eating. All made this bracha in the last 24 hours. Specifically, last night.
Abdullah.
Yes, which bracha? Basamim. Birkas hareach. If you smell basamim, you have to make a bracha. Why? Because you're benefiting it, you're not eating it. So I see that the concept of Birkas HaNehenin is indeed not limited to achila. Whenever you benefit from the world, you have to make a bracha. It could be in the form of eating, it could be in the form of smelling. So here comes the question. This might sound a strange question, but we need a good answer. So if I go and hear a top chazan in the world singing, why don't I have to make a bracha? I'm benefiting it. If I see a most magnificent sight, a mountain, and I enjoy the view, why should I not have to make a bracha? So what are you going to say? Because I didn't eat the mountain, neither did I eat the basamim. But there's a reach. A reach is a pleasant fragrance it's a benefit from Olam Hazeh, and the Gemara said it's a logic. So if it would be a posuk va'ochalta v'savata v'irachta, then obviously my question's a non-starter, because that's specifically limited to eating. When you hear a nice voice or see a nice picture, you're not eating it. But if you tell me that no, it's a logic, and the logic is it's osa lehonois lehonam in oilam, so what's the definition of benefit now? We've clearly seen that benefit is not limited to eating. Proof of the pudding is Pirkas HaReach. Even Boire Mo'ire Ho'esh. How would you classify Boire Mo'ire Ho'esh? What type of bracha is Boire Mo'ire Ho'esh? Is that a Birkas Hanehenin? I'm benefiting from the fire? From the light? Could be. There is actually a big discussion. We also had Kiddush Levona last night. There is a big discussion. What exactly is the bracha of Kiddush Levona? Is the bracha a Birkas HaShvach? You're just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the wonderful creation called the moon. Or maybe it's a Birkas HaNehenim. I benefit from the moon. How do I benefit from it? Because at night, it's the only light I have. If that would be true, so we've even further now expanded the concept of Hano. It could be eating, it could be benefiting from a pleasant fragrance, or benefiting from the light. Eish, Levana. So if I go to a concert and I hear Luciano Pavarotti, which is unlikely because he's dead, but if I hear him sing, why don't I have to make a bracha? If I see a very beautiful, magnificent picture or a sight, why should I make a bracha?
Seeing a sight, that's a shvach, no? A sight?
Shvach is not when you benefit. When you go to the sea, you're not making a bracha because you benefit from the sea.
Because of the creation.
Because of the creation. But I'm asking, if you do benefit from it, why should I have to make a bracha? Now, with regard to hearing the top chazan in the world singing, there you could give me a simple answer. You could say, no, the bracha of benefiting is only when you benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation, but not from a human being's production. Even though, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, created human beings as well. But it's only from the world as it is. From Besomim, from food, from the sun, the moon. Say, but it doesn't entirely answer my question. Because if I go and see the sights and the sounds, I go on a great big trip to the north of Eretz Yisrael, and I see a magnificent valley, and I enjoy the splendor. I'm not, as it were, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should I not benefit from it to make a bracha as a result? That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, it's not human made. So if I see whatever, the Empire State Building, you'll tell me I don't make a bracha because that's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's production, it's human production. Say that. If I see a magnificent mountain with a tremendous view, why should I not have to make a bracha?
Beautiful flowers enjoy.
Which I enjoy the sight of. Right, if I enjoy the reyach, then you do make a bracha. But like you said, I see a wonderful garden. I see human nature, I see animals. There are some brachas you make on animals, as it happens. That is a big question that we'll have to bear in mind. We'll have to look further on in the perek why it is we know we don't make a bracha on those types of things. So we're going to have to try and iron out and further define and better define what does it mean to benefit from the world. Either way, as we mentioned, this Rashi is absolutely crucial because Rashi has explained to us that what we're doing when we are benefiting from the world, we're making a bracha, we're actually thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let me ask maybe an oversimplified question. The Gemara says, we tried this drasha, we tried another drasha, it all fell through. So how do you have to make a bracha? Svara. What is the svara? Says Rashi, because you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can we try and define that a little bit better? Why is that a svara?
Hmm?
what exactly is the logic that it's absolutely prohibited to benefit from the world without thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If you tell me it's not a nice thing to do, and it's appropriate to be grateful and appreciative, that I understand. That's basic logic. If somebody gives you something, Kavuchem, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you something, you should express thanks. I understand that it's the right thing to do. That in turn means it's osa to eat it without. Apparently, yes.
So you're taking advantage of something that doesn't belong to you to start
with. So you're adding now another issue. You're saying the problem is because it doesn't belong to you. So we're going to see in a moment the Gemara does say that. But at this stage of the game, the Gemara hasn't yet brought in Gezel or Me'ila. It seems to be Derech, Eretz, Kodmo, Latoyer. Derech, Eretz is not just a mitzvah or a chiyuv. Basic logic defines that that's the way you're supposed to behave. And if you don't, that's an inappropriate and wrong mode of behavior. In other words, it's awesome. Awesome. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, which of course, by the way, is in Yonah D'Yema, because this is what all the Mepharshim speak about. That's why the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died at this stage of the year. Loinahu Kovod Zeh B'Zeh, the ultimate introduction to Torah is Derech Eretz. There's a lack of Derech Eretz, and this is the time of year that you're held accountable. Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. So if you're leading up to Kabbalah Satorah, there has to be a chizuk in Derech Eretz, not a weakness in Derech Eretz. So it sounds like that's what the Gemara is saying. It's basic logic. If you are benefiting, you have to express your appreciation, not because it's just a nice thing to do. I've heard this from my cornfield many, many, many times. The concept of Hakara Satayv is totally misunderstood by most countries in the world. And he always explains. When you go into a store in America, or in England for that matter, and the person behind the counter is extremely polite to you, why are they polite to you? Why do they say, oh, thank you so much, sir? Because it's worth their while. Because they know if they say that to you, you're more likely to come and shop there in the future. But it's not coming from a basic human instinct that it's the correct thing to express your appreciation. If they thought that they'd get more customers by not saying thank you, I promise you they wouldn't say thank you. But they've done their research and they realize that if your shopping experience is a pleasant one and people say thank you to the whole time, you're more likely to come back and shop there. So that's nothing to do with Hakara Satoiv. That's nothing to do with Hakara Satoiv. Hakara Satoiv is not expressing appreciation in order to. It's not in order to anything. It's expressing appreciation to express appreciation, period. So sometimes we get mixed up, oh, thank you and excuse me and I hope you don't mind and have a nice day. That's nothing to do with being a Derech Eretz type person. It's because it's commonly acceptable, because it's worth my while. People will think I'm not a nice person if I don't talk like that. And yet the Gemara over here says, no, none of that. It's awesome. It's just downright also finished, period. So that is the svar. Now, I think we should keep on going in the Gemara. We will come back to the Tosfos. But the Gemara continues a little bit with this svara, explains more about this svara. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbon, Asur loy la'adam sheyene min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. V'kol hanene min ha'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. Now the Gemara adds a halachic slant on this. If you benefit from this world without a bracha, mo'al. What does that mean, mo'al? Me'ila. Oh, that's already a halachic definition. In other words, we're considering anything in the world until you've made a bracha as hektish. If you misappropriate hekdesh by using it for your own mundane purposes, that is an issa of me'ila. Says the Gemara, if you don't make a bracha, that is tantamount to me'ila. My takante, what would be the solution? Yelech eitzel chacham. You should go to a chacham. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Mo'al kenehene min ha-hektesh. It's tantamount to benefiting from hektesh. Why? The ksiv. As it says, Lashem ha'aretz u'maloya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the world and everything that fills it. Because Amrin Allah, come on, as we're going to say shortly. What is hektesh if not for an item that belongs to Hashem? When I makdish something, what does that mean? I'm dedicating it, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if everything is hektesh anyway. I make a bracha, tremendous chiddush, that somehow extracts it from the realms of hektesh. It makes it once again yours. It's like a pidyon. Just like you could be poida revai, and you could be poida maisa sheni. So too, you can be paid, as it were, anything in this world, and you can strip it of its kedusha. How so? Make a bracha. The bracha is the key.
Therefore, you can use it.
Now you can use it. Just like hektish. If I makdish this table to hektish, it's a da'iraisa to now use it. But if I'm paid it, so I strip it of its kedusha, now I can use it for my own mundane usage.
We're saying that anything and everything, in essence, is hektish.
Everything is hektish. Why? What is hektish? Hektish means Hashem's it belongs creation. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beroiv Chastoi, gave us a mechanism by which we can, as it were, convert it, kaviyochol, from being his to becoming ours. The mechanism by which you do that is bracha.
But we use so many of his creations without making a bracha. We use so many of his creations without making a bracha.
So that really now comes back to our previous question. So I should make a bracha when I walk on the street.
When I sit down at the table.
I sit down at the table. When I walk on the floor. When I breathe air. When I live. That really brings us back to our previous question. So what is benefiting it? Why is it only certain benefits Chazal mandated a bracha and others they didn't? If the principle is everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created it. And also, every breath of air I take, I should say a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, shakol nid bedvarim, or borei ha'avir. Now, the Gemara says a strange line. My takante. What is the solution? Yelech eitzel chacham. You should go to a chacham. What does that mean? How's that going to solve anything? Says the Gemara, Yelech eitzel chacham? Question mark. My Ovid Le, what's he going to do for you? Ha Ovid Le Isuro. You've been over the Issa already, so what's the chacham going to do for you? I ate an apple without making a bracha. Fine, I'm going to run to the chacham. What's he going to do? Regurgitate the apple for you? What's he going to do? Says the Gemara, no. It doesn't mean that you go to the chacham afterwards. Elo, Omar Rava, Yelech Eitzel Chacham, Meikara, V'yelamdeinu Brachos. The takana doesn't mean after you've already messed up. It means it's incumbent on every single person to go to a chacham before you mess up. Why? So that he should teach you the halachas of the brachas, shelo yavoi lidei me'ila, so that he won't come to me'ila in the first place. But enochanami, once you've eaten without the bracha and you've been over me'ila, it's too late. Now, what does this mean? I mean, you have to go to a chacham before you shake a lulav as well, no? You have to go to a chacham before you eat matzah. It also has to teach you the halachas. So why is this specific to brachas? The answer is probably because this is something that applies to our day-to-day life every single day, without exception. It's not once a year issue. You have to make sure. Somebody once told me a very, very good line. He said, you know, it's very important, he says, to learn the Mishnah Brura on the halachas of brachas. Not to become a Talmud Chacham, just not to be an Am Haaretz. Somebody knows the halachas of Eruvin, no, is a Talmud Chacham. not necessarily day to day, and you can rely on other people to help you out. If you know halachas and brachas, you can't consider yourself a Talmud Chacham, but at least you're not an Amoretz. That's already a big stage. Brachas every single day of our life. If you want to join our Kodal Mitzvah Hashem, we're planning during the winter Mitzvah Hashem to learn halachas and brachas, Kitzam and Baruch, this perek. So it's important to know. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Kol hanehene min ha'olam hazeh b'loi bracha, ki'ilu nehene mikodshei shomayim. Very similar to what we just said before. It's as if you are benefiting from kodshei shomayim, that which is holy and belongs to heaven. Why? Shenema, we have a bit of a stira in the psukim. It says in Tehillim, Lashem Ha'oretz Umloya. The world and anything that fills it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch. Now, Rebbe Levi, Romi. What does Romi mean?
It's a contradiction.
He sets up a contradiction. Romi literally means to throw. It means he threw one against the other. He pointed out the clash. Why? Ksiv, it says on the one hand, Lashem Ha'oretz Umloya. V'ksiv, it says on the other hand, Hashomayim, Shomayim Lashem, albeit that the heaven, as it were, is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but V'ha'oretz, no son of Neod, and when do we say this pasuk? Halal. So the first pasuk says, whose is the Oretz? Lashem. Second pasuk says, no, it's only the Shomayim, but Ha'oretz, no son of Neod, that's a contradiction. What's the answer? Loi kasha. Kan. Koidem brocha, kan la'acha brocha.
Nice.
Before the brocha, who does it belong to?
Lashem
ha'oretz umloya. No difference in shemaim and oretz. If you make a brocha, this is what we said before, it becomes converted, and as it were, it now becomes your property. As long as it's you have not made a brocha, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's property. You know? If you eat and you use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's property, that's called misappropriation. That's, in other words, that's me'ila. HaKadosh Baruch has been mechadish you a tremendous chiddish and a tremendous chesed. But if you make a bracha, that unlocks the door and that converts it from being kodesh and becomes chulin. Says Rashi, the last Rashi on the page, La'acha ha'bracha harihi l'bnei Adam. After the bracha, then it becomes property, as it were, of the Bnei Adam. But prior to that, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So far we have seen that if you eat or benefit without making a bracha, what is the problem?
Me'ila.
Now we have a different look. Omer el chanina ba'popa kol ha'nenem an oylem hazeh b'loi bracha ki'ilu goyzel la'kadosh Baruch Hu, and also the Knesset Yisrael. It's not so much me'ila, but rather
gezel,
it's stealing. Why? Shenema, we're pasuk in Mishlei. Goyzeil oviv ve'imoy. If one steals from his father and his mother, va'oimer ein pesha, and he says that what? It's no avera, didn't do anything wrong. You should know you're a chaver hu le'ish mashchis. You are an associate of the man of destruction. Who is that? We'll see in a moment. So what does it mean to steal from your father and from your mother? Says Rashi, Ein Oviv, who is your father? Elo? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema haloi hu avicha konecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father. We say it in davening continuously, Avinu Malkeinu. So when it talks about stealing from your father, that means stealing from Hashem. Who's your mother? Ve'ein ima, elo, Knesset Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is considered your mother. Shenema, Shema b'ni Musa Ravicha, v'al titoish toiras imecha. Do not forsake the Torah of imecha, meaning of Klal Yisrael. So when you eat without making a bracha, you are stealing, as it were, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what does that mean, you're stealing from Klal Yisrael? In what way? Says Rashi at the top of the page. The Knesset Yisrael, sorry, goyiz el HaKadosh Baruch Hu es berkosei. You are stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu the bracha. Not just stealing the food, you're stealing the bracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, deserves the bracha. If you don't make it, you're taking away something which is rightfully his. What am I taking away from Klal Yisrael? I don't give a bracha to Klal Yisrael, I give a bracha to Hashem. Says Rashi, no, you know what you're taking from Knesset Yisrael. Shekeshechotu hapeirois loikin. When there's sin in Klal Yisrael, the fruits suffer. So if you don't make a bracha, what's going to happen as a result of your sin? The fruits in the world are going to suffer. Therefore, ultimately, what are you causing?
Destruction.
You're causing destruction. You're causing gezel. I, as it were, taking away food from people. Says Rashi, ein pesha, ulafi shehu mekel. Because he is lax and he's lenient in this, he doesn't make brachas. Royim or acherim, others see him. V'lemeidin mimenu la'asais kein, and they learn from him to do the same. Lehones min ha'olam b'lei bracha. They'll say, listen, if he benefits from the world without a bracha, then presumably I can do the same. Olekach nikro ze ha'mekel. That's why this mekel, this person who's being lenient, is called chaver le'ish mashkis. That's why he's the friend of destruction. In what way have I associated myself with destruction? Because as a result of my avera, others will do exactly the same. Who is this man of destruction? Says the Gemara. My chover hu le'ish mashchis, omar b'chanina b'apopa, chover hu le'yerovam ben Nevot. No less than Yerovam ben Nevot, shehishchis es Yisrael la'aviyem shebashomayim. We know the Yerovam ben Nevot was the evil king, says Rashi, Shechota. Not only did he himself sin, but Vehechti es Yisrael, so too did he cause others to sin. So too, Kahu, so too this fellow who eats without a bracha is exactly the same. Number one, he's a chote. He's a sinner. Why is he a sinner? Because he himself hasn't made a bracha. But furthermore, he's a machti. He causes others. Why does he cause others? That we just said before. Because if you eat and you don't make a bracha, then others will see you and they'll do the same. So not only have you yourself sinned, but you also have caused others to sin. In which case, who have you just associated yourself with? Yerovam ben Nevat. Because Yerovam ben Nevat was the classic example of somebody who was so wicked, not only did he himself sin, but he also caused others to sin. Now, we need to ask the obvious question, and I think there's an obvious answer, which we basically pointed out before. Again, why is this unique with regard to brachas? Why can't you say this with every avir? If you, I don't know, don't have a mezuzah in your house, other people will copy you. And if you don't shake lulav, other people will copy you. And if you don't eat matzah, other people will copy you. So every avera l'chayra is a double-edged sword. That you're a chayte or a machti. So why is it only with regard to brachos? But l'chayra, again, the pshat is because it's such a common day-to-day mitzvah. A mezuzah you put up once, a lulav you shake once a year, matzah eat once a year. But brachas, which is a daily occurrence every single day, and maybe more than that, when you eat, it's normally in the company of other people as well, so it's something which is very easily detectable. So that's why you're more likely to cause avera. If I do or don't shake lulav, maybe nobody will know about it. If I do or don't eat matzah on Seder night, nobody will know about it. So I'm a chayte, but I'm not a machti. But if I eat without brachas, that's something that's so regular and so public that people are likely to know about it. If I don't make a bracha, they'll probably copy it.
We apply the principle we learned from Sukkah at the end. So,
right, very good.
Same concept.
Yeah. So we've seen that what? Two different looks at the concept of bracha. Either, if I don't make a bracha, what is the problem? There's a problem of me'ila. I am misappropriating kodshim. Or gezel. What am I stealing? Not that I'm stealing the food. Rashi says I'm stealing the bracha. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha. The bracha is rightfully his, as it were. And by not making the bracha, I'm taking away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu what is really his. Okay. Be'ez Hashem next time, which will be on Tuesday, Habalim and Toiva, we will learn the Tosafim. They're not complicated. One or two that quote other Gemaras, it's worth looking up the other Gemaras, and they will be ready, Mr. Hashem, to move on to the next Gemara.
Is Rashi saying we're not stealing the food?
Right. It's a Chiddush. I think without Rashi, we would have understood.
Sure.
That stealing means I'm stealing the food. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's food.
Beautiful.